that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our lesson this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, from the third chapter, verses 1 through 6, and it can be found on page 1593. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, the tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonius and Lysantia, tetrarch of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah in the desert, and apparently the only one in this entire chapter who has a pronounceable name. He went into the country around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet. A voice of one crying in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make pathways straight for him. Every valley shall be filled in, and every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all of humankind will see God's salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Alle, alle, alleluia. Alle, alle, alle.
Advent world. Some folks say that this week is courage. Others say this week is peace. We ordered these really fabulous 4 feet by 3 feet coloring pages. So after church, we will color in one that says peace. And yet the really cool ones that go for our bulletin covers say courage. Courage would really go well if it were the third week and it was Mary. But it's the second week, and it's John the Baptist. You might think we didn't exactly prepare in advance for this week. Which is, of course, why the theme of today's sermon is preparation. So I just wanted to say that preparation for prayer may be a bit more of a journey toward a goal, rather than an arrival point of perfection. And we are just going to embody that here. So one of the beautiful things about my new job with the fire department in the city of New York is that when I started working, I knew virtually nothing about how the FDNY operates. They hired a pastor, and that was what they were looking for, was someone who knew how to be a pastor and a chaplain. They didn't expect me to know that much about how the fire service operates, and which was really good because I knew absolutely nothing. In fact, I didn't even know the difference between an engine and a truck. And for those of you who are sitting out there, this is a very basic differentiation that you probably don't know either. So just so that you can feel like you really officially learned something in church today, I'll tell you this. The engines are the ones that have the hoses on them, and their job is to put water onto the fire. The trucks are the ones that have the ladders on them, and their folks are in charge of getting to the fire. So they're the ones who break down the doors, they vent windows, they vent the roof. They tend to have a lot of very fancy power tools, and often they're the ones who actually will get to rescue the people. So there you have basic differentiation on the two. I've been told that truckies tend to be bigger and stronger because they have to go and like beat things down and rescue folks, and that engine folks tend to be much more team-oriented because they have to work together as a team in order to get the hose lines up and running and in the right place. So I've had this entire new, huge organization to learn about and to learn from. And one of the biggest skills that I've learned, which obviously you can see I am still practicing, but I've learned while watching the FDNY operate, is that the key to the overall success of actually getting to go and put fires out and protect the life and property of the city of New York is preparation. They sound almost like Boy Scouts. Be prepared. There are actually surprisingly few fires in New York City. It's not like when you watch on Chicago Fire and they have like at least 2, if not 3, large emergencies and rescues in every episode. Instead, the bulk of the job that the fire department does is prepare for when a fire comes. A firefighter can actually go months without attending an actual fire. And many go their entire career without ever rescuing anyone. I had no idea. I thought that we were going to be on like a go-do-it high virtually every single day. There aren't. There aren't that many fires. But when there is a fire, you want to know that the people who are coming are prepared. And so that's actually what they do for most of their shift. They get ready. They wait. They prepare. They go to many false alarms. They investigate a lot of calls for people who smell smoke or the odor of gas. And as an aside, please call 911 if you ever smell gas or you think there might be a fire. It's far better to send them out when it's not an emergency, but you think there could be one, than to not send them out and have it actually be an emergency. So in between these calls, there's a lot of downtime. I would say that the fire department is actually the ultimate advent kind of job. There's a lot of waiting, of watching, and of preparing. So the FDNY has taught me that part of my job is preparation. So each shift, the firefighters prepare for making sure they're ready to go by filling the rig with gasoline. They always have a full tank of gas. They make sure that their quarters are clean, that they know where all the tools are. They check that the equipment is ready, and not just their own personal gear or the oxygen in their tanks or air in their tanks, but also that every power tool works. I watch them doing this, and they're like, it's like they make sure all the batteries have been charged, they swap out those. It's amazing. And most of the time, they don't have to tweak anything, but they're just making sure, just in case. They have to be ready all the time because they never know when something is going to happen. And they train, they practice, and they stay in shape, most of them, sometimes me, not as much, just in case you gotta go. They don't wait by doing nothing. They wait by preparing for something. They wait in expectation that something exciting is going to happen, and they don't want to miss it. And let me tell you, they really don't want to miss it. Like, if you miss a big fire, you just feel so bummed because it's so exciting. It's what you've prepared for. You don't want to miss the main event. In Luke's telling of the story of Jesus, he talks about a man named John. John is Jesus' older cousin, and he served a bit like a warm-up band for the main act. John fulfilled what was written in the book of Isaiah, that there would be a voice of one crying out in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. So John went out and prepared the way for his cousin Jesus. He proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He cried out for the world to get ready, to prepare, because something big was going to happen. Don't just wait idly by for this new Lord to show up. Prepare by repenting, by having your sins forgiven. This is a very common way of preparing in the Bible, to atone, to have those sins forgiven, to repent. But atone literally means to take two things that are separated and to bring them together at one mint. It's that way in the English word, it's also that way in the Hebrew word. That basically we are to take ourselves as separate people and to reconnect with God. We are to bring ourselves into oneness with God. And that is the best way that we can prepare. So Advent is the season of waiting. We have a choice. We can wait and let the time pass by, or we can prepare. And obviously you can see that before I worked at the fire department, I spent more time waiting and less time preparing. Now I'm preparing a little bit, but we still can't get our courage and our joy or our peace to match up all perfectly, but we're getting a little better. We're preparing for exciting and new things to happen to us as individuals, to all of us collectively as a community. And as I'm preparing, I'm seeing myself change a little bit at a time, but there are just little changes. I'm starting to be better about scheduling things and making lists. But ultimately, I'm working better about being present. Present with you and present with God. So you might ask, how are we to prepare this Advent? What does preparing for us look like? How can we be more present, more at one with God? It is not about making sure that your Christmas gifts are purchased early. Though if that allows you to have less stress in your life, feel free to do it. It isn't even about making sure that last year you put all the Christmas decorations back in a spot where you can find them, so that when you go to take out your fake tree, you have all four parts of the plastic stand and not three. I did not prepare well last year for Advent this year. It's about doing things that help us to get close to God and to allow God to be close with us. It allows us to wait and to let hope or courage or peace or joy or love to find us. That it is about actually doing less and being more. It's almost the opposite of what our consumer culture tells us we need to do for Christmas. So how do we get to that? Well, we can pray. We can pray in good times and in tough times. We can pray for the forgiveness of our sins. We can pray that we can forgive others around us. We can work toward being one with one another, with God and with ourselves. Often, I think we have a tendency to think that prayer has to be a specific thing at a specific time in a specific way. But actually, prayer is a bit more like exercise, that it can be done almost anywhere, but we often tend to not think about doing it because we think we need to have the right environment. In fact, you can fit prayer in during your commute on the subway, or my personal favorite, in the bathroom. If you're not praying in the bathroom, I don't know what you're using that private time for. You can pray when you're afraid. You can pray when you're happy. You can pray when you hear something difficult in the world. You can pray when you're talking to people. Another thing that we can do is to recognize our own anxieties and our fears and to try our best to turn them over to God. This is actually a really tough one because being fully human is actually to be scared. About big things, about little things. When you feel your body tense up, or your palms sweat just a little, it means that you're having some anxiety in your system. If you can recognize when that happens, and consciously try to turn it over to God, you'll discover that you're able to be a little more Christ-like in this world. That often it's our own fears of ourselves, of God, of others, of the future, of the past, that get in the way of our being close to the divine. This week was a particularly painful week in our world. After the horrible shootings at Planned Parenthood and San Bernardino, so many people responded with saying, "We're praying, we're praying, we're praying," that there was finally a backlash, that we need to put our prayers into action. And it is so right that praying alone is swell, but praying with action is what actually helps God's work get done. Justice is what love looks like in real time. You can love someone, but if you're not actually working for justice in the world, it's kind of a noisy symbol and a clanging gong. We need to pray and to act, to find ways to work for justice and to share love, and to recognize that in doing so, we are preparing for God's arrival. That it's the combination of the two that brings forth God's reign here on earth as it is in heaven. Ultimately, though, we need to be able to love ourselves. And this is often the hardest preparation that we can do, to allow ourselves to be the people that God made us to be, imperfect, totally, fully human. If you do one thing to prepare for the arrival of the Christ child this Advent, I would suggest that it would be to fully love yourself, to forgive yourself, and to embrace yourself in the same way that God loves you. God does not expect you to be perfect. So why do you expect yourself to be perfect? If you are not making multiple mistakes at any given moment, you're dead. Don't be dead. Take the risks and allow yourself to make those mistakes. Because you never know when you're going to be called to do God's work on earth. But you will be called. And when you are, you're going to want to be ready. You're going to want to know that you have prepared, that you're trained, that your equipment is tested, that you are good to go, and that you are ready to be the very presence of God on this world, in this world. And that that is what this Advent season is about, preparing to be God's light in our world. Amen.
Thank you. heart left inside him, he said.